issue of repentance and the need of sincerity to accompany our repentance. 2 Corinthians 7:10, it says, "For the kind of sorrow God wants us to experience leads us away from sin and results in salvation. There's no regret for that kind of sorrow. But worldly sorrow, which lacks repentance, results in spiritual death." And that's a problem that we see in churches today and in our world today. There's not true repentance, because true repentance will bring you to a place of change. Worldly repentance doesn't work or qualify for God's forgiveness. We need to realize that. See, God is looking for true and sincere repentance on our part. He's looking for regret to the place that would do anything to change and fix it. And so as God's people, we need to take repentance seriously. Sin needs to be repented of. When we do things that displease God, or when we do things that offend God, we need to repent of those things. And as we repent of those things, God forgives. The Bible says He forgives all rebellion. He forgives all sin, no matter how bad your sin may have been. God will forgive you if we will repent. 1 John 1:8-9, it's not up on the screen, this one here, it says, "But if we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all our wickedness." I'm glad that God forgives sin. I'm glad that God, as we repent, He wants to forgive. That's God's desire. He wants to forgive. But He's telling us there's something that we all need to do to receive that. That's called repentance. We must come to that place of repentance, even as we come to faith in Jesus Christ. It's not enough just simply to believe. You got to come to that place where you repent of your sins and say, "God, I'm sorry. God, I've been living in a wrong way. I need to change my life. I do believe in You." And well, if you do believe in Him, then you're going to follow in His ways. And you're going to start conducting yourselves according to His ways, not your ways. And so there will be a change that will take place in your life as you come to faith in Christ. So as we confess our sins, He's faithful, He's just, and He will forgive us of all our sins. I like that. All my sins, He forgives them all if I just simply confess and repent of those sins. Then thirdly, in this passage of Hosea, it encourages us that it's also a time to praise. It's time to put effort and time to put praise back in the forefront of our lives. Hosea 14:2 says, "Bring your confessions, return to the Lord. Say to Him, 'Forgive all of our sins, graciously receive us, so that we might offer You our praises.'" When you experience the freedom that forgiveness from God brings in your life, it should result in praise from our lips, saying, "Thank You, God. Thank You that You've forgiven me. Thank You that you've wiped the slate clean. Thank You that You've washed my sins as white as snow. Thank You, Lord." You know, I find today in our lifestyle, it's a very busy lifestyle that we have. We're always in a hurry. Our minds are constantly looking for the next new thing that's out there. And maybe this Christmas you got the latest new thing that's out there. It's amazing when you go into the stores and you look at all of the new things that are out there. You're looking like, "Oh, wow, like my phone is, it's a 6. Now they're at an iPhone 11. What am I going to do? I need to get that iPhone 11 or your TV and your smart TVs and your talking TVs. You even get TVs that talk back to you now. You even get fridges that will talk back to you and give you a message. It's amazing the technologies that are out there, but sometimes our minds are in so many places. And our minds need to be upon praises to our God. Praises to our God. Even in our churches, I find that we're getting way too much in a hurry to praise the Lord. Let's hurry up. Let's get done our service. Friends, we're in way too much of a hurry. And God says we need to take time to praise Him. Praise Him. It's so important. Praise is a doorway that opens up the heavens, that gets God's attention. And if you don't know what to praise Him for, just begin to think about our sins. What have you done that you needed forgiveness for? Has he forgiven you? Then their heart should be full of praise. I like the song by Bethel Music. Praise is a highway to the throne of God. Praise is a highway to the heart of God. Praise is a highway to a move of God. And it really is. It really is a highway, the doorway that catches God's attention. So why wouldn't we want to praise him? If you're wanting to experience the blessings of God, the best way to get there is just start to praise him. Just start to praise him. And he's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of all of our worship. And it's important that we take time to praise him, especially as we enter this new year. I really believe it's time for us to make room for praise. Psalm 104 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. It's pretty clear in Scripture that the way that we approach God is with praise. We talked about that as we were sharing about the Christmas story and how the wise men came. What did they come prepared to do? They came prepared to worship. What did the angels do when they announced the proclamation of Jesus being born? They praised him. What did the shepherds do? They praised him. Praise is very important. Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Continual praise. It's not to stop. There should be praise constantly upon our lips, whether we're in church, whether we're driving our vehicles, whether we're at work, whether we're at home. There should be something inside of us that just wants to praise the Lord and to thank him. Praise is something that honors God. Praise is also something that shows us here as well that it shows that our allegiance is to him. That we're not afraid to declare our praises. We're not afraid to lift up a hand and say, I do worship you. I am a child of God. I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. In the coming month, we want to be focusing on this a whole lot more, the importance of praise and worship. And we're going to be having some times of worship, some times of praise and prayer. And at the end of the month, on the Sunday night, we're just going to have a time where we just come and worship the Lord. But we want to encourage you, don't be in a hurry to praise. Don't be in a hurry to get through that time of praise. Take some time. Take some time to praise him. Even come early. Come to church on time. Man, we had a revival on New Year's Eve. Do you realize that people came to our New Year's Eve celebration at 9 o'clock and they were here at 7? 2 hours early. In any other circumstance, you would call that a revival. Man, people came to church 2 hours early. Crazy. Wouldn't that be wonderful if people started coming to church 2 hours early? Just to get a seat. I pray that would happen in this place. So we're going to focus on that a lot more, especially in this coming month. And then fourthly, this text in Hosea encourages that it's time to focus on God. For our help comes from him, and he is the answer that we need. Hosea 14:3. Assyria cannot save us, nor can our war horses. Never again will we say to the idols we have made, you are our gods. No, in you alone do the orphans find mercy. It's in you, God. It's in you. So often we look to so many other things, so many other ways to try to achieve what we want, even in Christendom. We look to so many other ideas, so many wonderful other ideas that can come to our minds, and we sometimes forget to simply say, God, what do you want? God, what are you saying to the church? That's so important, and so many churches are missing that truth today. We need to seek him. You know, we say, you are the truth, the life, and the way. Well, if he's the truth, the life, and the way, why aren't we seeking him? He has all the answers of truth. You want truth? You're certainly not going to find it listening to the news today. I can't believe that we allow news today where people constantly tell lies. Blows me away. You want truth? You look to him. You want life? You look to him. You want to know what's the way I should travel? Look to him. That's what it tells us. Seek him. We need to be focusing on him. Now, it's okay to do everything in the natural that we should do. Of course we should. But at the same time, we need to be careful and say, God, is this what you really want me to do? Please remember the messages to the churches of a book of Revelation. And as you read the book of Revelation, those first few chapters, they're talking about the churches and what God is saying to the church. And a lot of those cases, God wasn't really pleased with the church. The church thought they were doing pretty good. But when there was an honest evaluation, they found themselves wanting. And in those messages, there were seven times the statement was repeated. And the book of Revelation is repeated actually eight times, once more at the end. And it says, heed what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's very important. Are we heeding what the Spirit of God is saying to the church? You know, today we're so, you know, our minds are all over the place. Oh, we need to do this, we need to do that. Are you listening to what the Spirit is saying? What's He saying to the church? Because the Lord was trying to tell the churches, you know what, you're doing great in a lot of areas, but you're missing something that's very important. You're not heeding what the Holy Spirit is saying. I've been reading through the book of Acts as part of my devotions this past month. I'm still in there. And I found it interesting how this one of these phrases kept popping up, that when the church got into a problem, what they did was they would come to the apostles, and as the apostles would pray and serve the Lord, it basically would give this phrase that their response was, it seemed good to us and to the Holy Ghost that we should do this. And I think that's so very important. I think a lot of times in our churches today that we're leaving the Holy Ghost out. We're trying to do church without God. You know, and sometimes in our world today, we do know how to do church. We're very gifted at doing church today. But it's not always God. And there needs to be the Holy Ghost in our churches. We need to make room for the Holy Spirit. And we need, you know, whether He makes you comfortable or not. Sometimes you go, well, what if He does this? What if He does that? What if He does? Do you make room or not? Either He's going to be part of your church or He's not. We want the Holy Ghost to have His way. Zechariah 4:6. This is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It's not by force nor by strength, not by might nor by strength, but by My Spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. We need the Holy Spirit. We need to be sensitive to what the Spirit of God is wanting. How much time are we seeking what the Holy Spirit wants in our church? How much time do we spend seeking that? We read books, we read ideas, we read, you know, we listen to podcasts, we do all those things, and all that's good. I do that too. But are we listening to what the Spirit of God is saying? See, our faith cannot be in our abilities, can't be in our own ideas, because God's ways and God's ideas are far above ours. This passage is not also on the screen. I had an extra week to be going over this message. So it says in Isaiah 55, 8, 9, it says, my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord. My ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Man, so often we think we know it all. We know how to do church. Man, we got it all. And God is saying, you don't know nothing. You don't know nothing because my thoughts are far above your thoughts. My ideas are far above your ideas. My ways are far beyond what you can even imagine. That's how big He is. So we need to focus on Him. First and foremost, we need to hear from Him because He is the answer. Our faith needs to be in Him alone. Matthew 6:33, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Live righteously and He'll give you everything you need. There's the answer. You want life. You want to enjoy everything that is out there in this world. He doesn't say that if you serve Him, you can't have them. He says, if you put Me first, then all these things shall be added unto you as well. You don't mess with God. So many people think, oh, if I serve God, then, man, life ends. I don't have any more fun. We just proved to a lot of people in our community, you can have fun on New Year's Eve without getting drunk. You can come and have some fun. Do you realize that we had a lot of community people coming up to us, and this is what they're saying to us? You know something? Not everybody drinks for New Year's Eve. Thank you for doing something where we could come and enjoy ourselves. That was a community. coming up to us and talking to us like that. You know what? 2020 is time for the church to focus on God and what the Holy Spirit is saying. And as we do, the blessings will come. The blessings will come. So in closing, as we start to prioritize these times of reflection, times of repentance, as we start to prioritize times of praise and times to hear from God, we will reap those things that we've been truly wanting to see happen in our church and what we've been seeing being prophesied, what we've been seeing being spoken over our nation, over this church, over this area. When we start doing what God wants us to do, all the blessings will get released. Hosea 14:4 says, "The Lord says, then I will heal you of your faithlessness, and my love will know no bounds, for my anger will be gone forever." I like that verse. Then. When I start doing what God's asked me to do, I'll start experiencing the healings. I'll start experiencing the forgiveness. I'll start experiencing the blessings of God. I'll start experiencing His love, which He says has no bounds. Do you realize that God wants to pour out His love at us so much that He has no bounds? There's no limits to it. He just wants to keep loving on you and loving on you. That's God's desire for not just you and I, but for our whole world. I want to love you. I do love you. Will you allow me to love on you? How do we get that love? We start with that place of reflection. We start with that place of repentance of our sins. We start with that by turning to God. When we approach Him rightly, make time for Him, there is a promise response. God will touch us. God will pour out His love in ways that we've never experienced before. There will be healing. There will be forgiveness. There'll be love and blessings as we make room and time for God in our lives. As we come in this year of 2020, let's commit to making more room for God in our lives, more room for God in our church, more room for us to enter in and to praise Him. I'm really believing for a year of breakthrough, of power, of the supernatural. I'm believing for signs and wonders and miracles, and the greatest of all, I'm believing for salvations. Let's work together. Let's deal with our stuff. Let's put our past and our hurts, and even over this past year, the things maybe that have taken place and things have gone on in our lives that we didn't like or we were hurt or whatever the situation might be. Why don't we just put it behind us and say, let's make a clean slate and let's move together forward to see what God would have for this church and for this area. It's time we do that, that the blessings might flow. You know, many ways it's been a pretty tough few years for us. But I believe that God has something very, very big. And I believe it's for our nation as well. I really believe that God wants to do something very great in this nation of Canada. And 2020, I know some people got all these nice little phrases, you know, 2020 vision and all those kinds of things. But I do believe God wants to do something great right here in our midst. And I've been watching, you know, as God's beginning to stir things in the lives of people here in our church. I've been watching people coming with dreams and visions and coming to me and speaking about things that God has been speaking in their hearts. I've been watching as the community has been coming and sharing some of their hearts and some of the things that they're feeling God is saying to them, even though they don't even go to church. But God's starting to stir people's hearts. He's calling people back. There's many people in this nation are realizing it's time to put God back into our lives. And if you're here today, maybe you're new or you're not part of church or haven't been to church your whole life. Well, this morning, I hope that something in this message spoke to you. That if you want to start putting God first in your life, well, it starts with something you probably already have been doing. Every time of reflection, you've been already looking and realizing, you know what, I think I need God in my life. I think I need to go to a church somewhere today because I feel something inside. Well, that's the Holy Spirit. That's what He does. He works in us. He convinces us and He convicts us in our lives that we might respond and open up our hearts to God. And as we do that, then we repent of our sins. God, I'm sorry. That's an easy thing to do. It's not hard because we know that as we do so, God's already there. He's just waiting to forgive us. Like, come on, I'm ready to forgive you. just come and repent. Just come and confess, and I'll forgive you. And then we start to serve him. Start to put that focus on him. We start to praise him. And he starts to do great things. His love just starts overflowing and overflowing and overflowing in her life. She just starts to do more and more things. His love holds no bounds. I'm going to keep on loving you. And if you're here today and that's something that you want to do, at the end of the service, how we close here, we always give an opportunity for people to come, and we'll gladly pray with them. And so as our music team would come back up and close this service and worship, once they sing that song, you're free to go. And if you're a visitor or just decided today would be a day to come to church, bless you. Thank you for coming. Encourage you to go by the white table and just let us know that you are new here today. We'll give you a little gift just for being in church and bless you with. And if you want prayer as we sing that song, just come to the front and we'll have a team here that will gladly pray with you and share with you. Otherwise, there's coffee out there. Have some fellowship. God bless you. Thank you for coming to church today. Father, I thank you that you're a God who pursues us. You're a God that wants to have relationship with every one of us, and that every one of us is important to you. And so, Lord, I pray, help us, Lord, to do those inward reflections. See if there be any wicked way in me. And God, if there is, forgive us. Forgive us. Help us to repent of those things. Help us to deal with those things. And as we do so, Lord, that forgiveness doesn't wait. It's instant. Once we repent, it's instant. Forgiveness is released. And there should be a joy that my sins have been forgiven, that I'm standing anew and afresh before my God, where I can praise him once again from my heart, where there's no hindrance, there's nothing stopping that praise. Goes directly from my heart to God's heart. And then as my praise goes to his heart, his love comes into my heart and just begins to fill me and touch me, begins to consume me. Fill us up, Lord, with your love. We want that love that has no bounds, no limits. We want to be saturated, Lord, in your love. And I pray that over your people, Lord, that they would begin to sense the love of God like they've never sensed it before. That it would become so strong and so powerful in their lives. Yeah, that Lord, yeah, it might bring some weeping. It might bring some tears. But it also might bring some rejoicing and dancing and jumping and shouting for the great things that you're doing. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And we commit ourselves afresh today, Lord. I want to serve you better. I want to serve you better. 2019, maybe it was a great year for you spiritually. I want to make it even greater. I want it to be even greater. I want more, more. God has more for us. God has more for you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So we just bless your people this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Let's stand together as we close in this song and as we sing that song through. You're free to go. And if you want prayer, please feel free to come.